You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hoofit. Head. And Hotbox.
Welcome back, everyone. It's time for episode 28 of The Training Dummies, recorded on January 17th, 2013. I am Hoofit, the bear tank. You can call me Taylor. With me tonight is Hen, the rest of Shaman, also known as Daryl in some places, and Holloway, the lady panda monk that we call Rob, the lady panda monk. On today's show, our topic today is provided by a listener. So we'd like to thank Yinxie for bringing up, asking about healing for raid topics. But before we get started on all that, let's find out what's going on this week. Rob, what you been up to? Rob the Lady Panda.
I didn't fill in my portion of what I've been up to, so I'm going to wing this here, because you guys look like you did a pretty thorough job.
Well, I always wing it. This way I tried not to wing it today for a change.
I don't know when this happened. Probably this week. I hit 90 on my hunter. Today I hit exalted with the dominance offensive, got the couple of mounts out of there and finished up that storyline. And that was actually something that I was dead set on not caring about. It actually ended up being really cool. All those story quests that kind of got you going and you went around all of Pandaria doing all these extra little things and went to Silvermoon and Dalaran, did all this cool stuff. It was actually turned out to be a lot more fun and interesting than I had planned on. And there's some super cool gear over there, so that was pretty good. I finally got my priest up to do the entirety of LFR. So thanks to the item upgrade system, which we'll be mentioning later on, I'm sure, in a little bit, I was able to upgrade and get that last point I needed to get into Heart of Fear and Terrace. So other than that, not a whole lot going on. Still keeping my main Lady Panda up to speed, and hopefully we will finally get out of this raiding rut that we've been in with the attendance boss and get in and kick some face here this week. That's what I'd like to see. So, Daryl, what have you been doing?
What I haven't been doing is getting a shot-touched mace.
Right.
Oh, man. First thing Tuesday, log in. All right, let's do Heart of Fear Part 2. And no, once again, didn't get it. Even though I've had that stupid gem since December 8th, we're now on a month and a half with nothing to use it on. Although the RNG gods are starting to mock me now, because I did Terrace on Wednesday, and on Lei Shi, I used my token or my charm to try for the shoulders, and what does it give me but the shot touch staff? So I don't know what to do now. I'm not going to put my gem in there.
I thought they were mocking you by giving me all the gear.
You know, well, what you could do. Too, and then they're giving me... No, never mind.
What's that?
Well,
all right.
It's going to be a topic for next week, but you could use the, now that you've got it in your bags, you could use the Ask Mr. Robot Best in Bags and see if it's worth it.
That is true.
Ooh. If he gets the mace, that'll be better. So.
Well, definitely. But on the same run that I got the Shaw Touch staff on the Shaw of Fear, I got my third helm token. So,
now...
So the only good thing about that is rather than 2850 gold, the token vendors for 50 gold rather than 28 gold. So that's all right, I guess.
It's like two tokens for the price of one.
Yeah, just about, eh? But that whole run was a little humbling. It was on Wednesday, and I think there was a lot of hardcore raiders in there. I know on the first boss fight, I was fifth in healing, which is very, very low for me in LFR normally. I'm normally, you know, fighting for first or a close second, but I was fifth. And even on Sulong, we didn't even get a second day phase. Like, they killed it that fast. It was insane. I couldn't believe it. I know there was a Dispriest in the run, too. He was He was the top heels the whole time, and the next healer after him, the second place healer, was half of his healing. So it's just insane. So that was my LFR this week so far. I've also been working on some Nat Piggle rep.
Screw that guy, man.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking the first day. I was watching TV with the wife. I'm like, oh, I'll log in and I'll just do some fishing. The octopus, you can get on the dock where Nat Piggle's boat is. Just sit on the boat and fish. That one seems to be the most difficult to get by far. The tiger gourami is very easy. It's in a river just north, and same with the spinefish alpha. A side bonus of doing these, though, is selling all the fish that you get. I've actually been making some good gold this week just by selling the extras. So that's kind of nice. I completed my dominance. I've been completing my dominance dailies. I hit revered today. So that was cool. I got one of the yellow bonus quests.
That token, man, so you can get the double for the rest of your
Yeah, I'm definitely going to do that. Yeah, definitely, definitely. So that was nice. Hit that today. Monday, the three of us did a random. I know we actually did a couple this week where we've just been tearing it up. It's been a lot of fun doing randoms again. We haven't done those very often. As for my priest, I've got that up to level 88 this weekend, so I'm slowly leveling that. My priest, I'm leveling. My wife is leveling her warlock at the same time, so we're doing that together. So once we've got a little time and we've done all our dailies and everything on our maze, we switch over to those. Out of game, not a lot. I did a hockey draft last night since hockey comes back Saturday, finally. Kind of looking forward to that. Another note, I took the job I'm at, I haven't had a sick day in the 3 years I've been there, except for this Monday, because my daughter gave me pink eye.
That's so gross.
Yeah, I know. So I had my first sick day in 3 years, because my daughter gave me pink eye, but it's all better now. And as well as that, we're going to Mexico in 3.5 weeks with the kids, but my wife and I booked a second trip for just me and her to go without the kids using air miles. So that was nice. Basically a free trip to Mexico. Wow. Talked for a long time since I made some notes. Taylor, what have you been up to?
Well, I had quite a good bit of fun in the guild web chat with you getting pink eye from your daughter. Thank you for that. That was a lot of enjoyment for me. In the game, I finally completed my Rathian gem quest, so I've got my agility gem for my Gowray Staff of the Legendary Protector. I just love having a Shaw touched weapon, don't you, Rob?
Oh, it's so awesome. I love having it too.
I mean, anybody with a podcast should probably have a Shaw touched weapon.
I
don't know.
Yeah, they probably should.
Silly without one, probably just kick him off the show. But
even though you can't see my air quotes, but even though you're a bad tank, you still got the
I am a bad tank. Behave. I haven't had a lot of time this week. I've been on call almost 2 weeks back to back. So it's been a little bit rough. I got two calls as soon as I walked in the door. When I got home, I got two calls on the way in. I'm like, oh my goodness, this is nuts. I'm actually kind of nervous that it's going to ring any second while we're recording. But anyway, I haven't had a whole lot of chance to do my dominance offensive dailies. It's kind of frustrating. I just hit on
it. Yeah, I think I caught up to you on some of my alts, didn't I?
Yeah, and this is not like me at all. I mean, I like to get those things done and out of the way so I never have to do them again. And this is one of the longest it's taken me to do dailies ever. And I'm just kind of like, ugh. I know I've got tons and tons of time to do them. But
I'm ahead of you on that. That's rare.
Once you start getting into the storyline, though, it's really engaging. I think that's what kind of fun.
I was like exalted on all of the original Mists of Pandaria reps before you got started them.
I know.
Except Tillers. I did the important one first.
Shoot, right. Man, oh, that's true. You did hit Exalted on Tillers first.
Every one of my 90s, all seven of them are Exalted on with Tillers.
Oh, yeah. It's so difficult. You know, I actually, the same thing happened. I was, once they put in those, the little things you could buy, all of my alts, all of those guys, I had all my entire farms unlocked, and I'm like, you know, I know there's a quest to get the darn watering thing and the bug thing, and I'm like, where the hell did those quests start? I couldn't remember. And then I was like, I'm like, oh my god, I had to go buy the item and then start the quest from that. Ah, that was frustrating.
Like, yep.
How many days had I been manually tilling that soil and manually
going around that little water can?
Yes. Oh, that's annoying. So I've got at least two bag spaces back on all my alts and oh jeez. So also, I have been reading. I just picked up the. I had to stop my John Carter of Mars reading because I wanted to actually read the Jaina story, Tides of Darkness, before Mist was done. So I put that aside for a little bit and started reading the Jaina story. And I'm about a third of the way through it. I just started it a couple days ago. I've been reading it a little bit here and there on break or whatever, so I should be done with it by the weekend if I get a chance. So that's pretty cool. And the last thing I did this week was I ordered a Dalek desktop defender for my wife. It's a little USB Dalek from Doctor Who, and if it's pretty cool, I might get one for myself, because if you walk in front of it, it tries to
exterminate
you. So, I might try to get that. so that's what I've been up to this week. So I guess, now that we're done doing all that, we should move on to
Deep Run Tram, last call for mail.
All right, moving right along, we got a couple emails. Oh, no, we got one email, right? Yeah, that's one email. So, and I think this is actually, oh, it was from I think 2 weeks ago, right?
Was it? It was like more than that. I'm not even going to tell you how long ago it was from.
Oh, geez. Well, yeah. We apologize. We've actually had this, and we kept meaning to answer it, and we apologize. So here it is. Hey guys, I've been listening to your show since episode 1. I've learned a lot, including converting every single keybind on my UI to mouse over macros of various sorts. Wow, that's impressive.
Nice.
Every key. That's cool.
I don't even do that.
Okay, so thank you very much for all you do. Now, a quick question about protection, paladin, tanking. Man, he really tried to tongue-tie me on this one. To hit cap or not to hit cap? I've read conflicting reports from various sources on the matter and would love any input from you guys. Thanks again for everything you do. Plagiosaurier of Wormrest Accord. Hand love to the Reckoning. What do you think that name is? Is it Plagiosaurier? Sorer?
I think it's Plagiosaurier.
Plagius?
We had this before, and I think we just called him Plagius.
Okay. Plagius. Plague.
Plagiosaurus.
It's a plague. Okay. So, coming from a tanking perspective, if you are a protection paladin, I do have a protection paladin. I am not hit capped on my protection paladin, but the gear, she's an alt, and, well, she's blood elf, so that's why it's a she. It's the only she I have, except for the mage, because she's got a really weird fishing pole attack position. Don't ask me. It's just nice.
All blood elves are she's.
Protection paladin. With any tank, as you get better gear, as Rob put it, you're going to have a lot more wiggle room as to what you can afford to put into what else. If you're just starting out, I would definitely focus on your hit. Man, I really can't remember expertise for paladins or not. I know I haven't been focusing a whole lot on it, even with my low gear. And what I've tanked on my paladin has been fairly easy with retaining aggro, threat, and anything I needed to do. But keep in mind, these things are going to contribute to your resources for tanking. You're going to need that holy power to translate. You know, to translate it for anyone else that's listening, it's like not being able to generate your rage on a warrior I apologize. I haven't tanked on my DK at all this expansion yet, but
I've actually been doing that a lot lately, and they're freaking awesome.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I've mostly been focusing on mastery for my paladin, but I do notice that there will be a time where I'll shoot off an Avenger shield or another ability, and it misses, and that's really frustrating when those things don't quite work out. So yes, it's important. It's important up to the point where you're comfortable with how often you're not landing attacks, really is what it amounts to. So, you know, do you need control? Do you need the threat? Or do you need more or less the survivability? And depending on which one you kind of need because of your gear level, you're probably going to, you know, have your reforging, your gems a little bit different depending on where you're at. So, I really wouldn't say that it's a, that's probably why you're getting various answers from different sources, because they might be assuming only one thing depending on what side of the argument they're looking at. They might already be max level, max gear, and they're like, nah, you don't need this. So I would take a look at where you're at. What do you need? Do you need control? Are you having threat issues? Then start, you know, gearing for hit and expertise. And if you're not having issues with any of that, then, you know, start to slack off. As the gear gets better and provides hit and expertise, you're going to have to reforge into it less, and then you can start, gemming and reforging into, you know, your parry dodge mastery stuff. So, yeah. Good luck and with tanking, because it's fun, and I love it. So, Hen.
I think the main thing with pally tanks is their resource being holy power comes from you landing hits, and if you miss, then you don't build that. And so if you're struggling with that, if you're not having that resource, then yeah, that would be the bottom line. Then yeah, look at a, like Noxic says, at least 7.5% hit, so I guess it falls under the standard melee. So yeah, if you're struggling, then yes. If you're fine, if you don't feel like you're missing, or you're not building up that the resource or your holy power, then try something else.
Cool.
All right, Hen. We've got a special tweet here, don't we?
We do. We have a training dummies success story.
Yeah, yeah.
Rob and I were on Girls Gone Wild podcast a couple weeks ago, and Raven had mentioned she was going to try and get herself using mouse over macros. So last week I sent her one of the base ones that I use for all my healing. That includes healing and a damage mouse over included in it. And anyways, EJ and Raven from Girls Gone Wild podcast, their raid team took down Elegon and Will of the Emperor this week. So the next day,
awesome.
Nice.
So anyway, the next day, Raven. No, that was good.
No, you're not.
Well, honestly, it was supposed Raven to be this.
the other one was more appropriate.
I think so.
I'm sure they were doing that in their voice chat.
Yeah, when they won.
Yep. Oh my goodness.
Anyway, Raven sent me a tweet the day after they killed Elegon and Will of the Emperor, saying, "I should say that last night's kills were achieved with the aid of my new mouse over macros. Not sure how I healed before." That's what we've been saying since we started this podcast. Yep. I don't know how you're healing if you're not doing mouse over macros.
So I think Girls Gone Wow owes a great bit of DKP to the training dummies for helping them kill those bosses.
Right. Right.
I'm totally good.
Congratulations on that kill. That is awesome.
If Hen can take all of my credit for all of the stuff that I tell him that he tells you, then I think Training Dummies can take credit for that. Right?
For someone else's Elegon kill?
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Why not? Yeah. Why
not? Hen's a part of the show, so he can vicariously take credit.
We were there in spirit.
All right. Well, that was pretty awesome. That was really cool to see. I saw a bit of that going on through Twitter, so that was actually pretty cool to watch happen. Well, you know, we've got this new voicemail app on the blog and on Facebook, and it allows you to send us a voicemail in pretty much two clicks. And if you don't like the way it sounds, you don't have to worry about sounding stupid. You can just say, no, I want to redo it. And nobody sent us a voicemail this week. Oh, man, we got two last week and none this week.
Nothing. I was going to go in and send us one. But
you were?
Yeah.
We're going to have to start sending ourselves voicemails.
All right. Hey, guys.
Please, please, guys, save us from this, whatever you want to call it. This
you guys are going to regret it when you come and listen to the show, and it's a bunch of voicemails from us asking us about mouse over macros.
Yeah.
So, unless you want it to come to that, get on there and send one in.
Yep.
So, we did have a nice little topic here that we wanted to start. But before we get into that topic, because this is all going to lead into a healing discussion, because we're going to be talking about healing in Looking for Raid, as provided by Yinxi. We have several tweets here that we'd like to just kind of go over before we get into the main discussion. So let's go ahead and start those off.
I know some of you were probably looking forward to hearing Affinity join us again. He is in the middle of beta testing some 5.2 stuff, and he's actually not really feeling 100%. So I was talking to him earlier today, and we just decided to reschedule, which led into this whole thing here. But like Hoof said, thanks to Yanksy and a lot of you folks from Twitter for kicking this up, and we actually got some pretty good content here. So we asked about healing tips and tricks for LFR, and an overwhelming response came back take a disc priest, call it good, loot, win, smite, all that good stuff.
I think we got a huge amount of tweets that was nothing but take a disc priest. Disc priest.
We had a ton. Perpetual caster, big game over from the Five WoW Things show, Kalex. So lots of people were very... I know there was some snark behind it just because of how OP it is right now, but that seems to be an overwhelming response. Basically, that is a great idea. Absolutely it is, and that's part of the reason I've been playing around on my disc priest lately, because it is fun and it is... You know, you throw a spirit shell out there and slash dance and win. But what had happened earlier today, and I've seen this a couple of times now, is it can actually come back to bite you. Because they are so popular right now, if you get into a group like I did today where there was like three or four other priests, the problem is that you can't shield over someone else's shield. It's kind of first come, first serve, and you'll have one person doing an extraordinary amount of healing and someone else at the bottom of the charts, because it just doesn't split well. So if one person is geared and familiar with the fights and knows what they're doing, kind of like Hoof was even, or I'm sorry, like Hand was even saying that.
No, that's okay.
That
you can say me. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Oh, you came sometimes in fifth in heals. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. But no, the disc priest that was on the run with him was just destroying the meters, you know. So you get somebody who knows what they're doing and they tear it up, but then, you know, it's hard to coordinate multiple disc healers. So unless you're in there with a group in sort of voice chat or something, it may come back to bite you. You know, most of the time it's LFR, it's not a big deal. Go in and just do your best, but that's something to be wary of too.
That kind of leads into the next tip we got from Fat Furry Tank. I don't know if this guy's trying to make fun of my poor little druid there, but
little.
Anyway, he says, don't try to pad the meters. Heal people efficiently, conserve your mana, and ignore the trolls. It kind of plays to that, because in Rob's situation, if everybody is rolling the flavor of the month healer, and in this case, Discipline Priests, and that healing comes from
Absorbs.
The Absorbs. You're always going to have one person that's doing insane amounts, or just appears to be doing insane amounts more than other people. They're not really, but you can't combat it. There's only, in this particular scenario, because you can't have, you know, five shields on a person to be absorbing, everybody's pulling out of the same pot, and whoever was a half a second later, they just going to end up looking bad. Because there was just nothing left, you know? It's like being the last person to get picked on a draft or something. Or is that a good thing? Is that the best spot? I don't remember. Is it like white elephant gifting, where if you're the first person, you get to steal the last person's thing or whatever? I don't know. So, but yeah, I mean, that's a good point. You are going to get those people that will pad the meters by doing that. They will know the fights. They'll be putting that stuff up there, and they will start bragging about it. And that goes to the point of the trolls. You're just going to have to ignore those people. If you are doing good, if you're not, if there's one person that's super crazy doing nutty on heals, and then the other people are all kind of in line with each other, that's probably what's going on, is that everybody is actually doing a fairly equal amount of healing, but one person is getting those, single target things off before anybody else, and that's probably what's going on. Don't end it there. You know, if you know you're having healing issues, you know, don't blame someone else for doing better than you because they're beating you with shields. But you know, just look into it a little bit more. See what their healing is. If it's all absorbs, then that's why they're beating you. It's because they're getting that first.
Well, and if you're an LFR and you don't wipe, then it's a win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Pretty much.
There is a way with basically every single class to spam and pad, you know, and I know, Fat Furry Tank says there's no, you know, that was his tip. Don't worry about that. If somebody's posting meters in LFR, they're probably just being a damage meter douchebag or a healing meter douchebag. but so if you don't wipe, it's a win. I'm gonna move on to Resi here.
Wait. On that note, that's the next big add-on mod that we should market and get advertising for. Instead of DBM, we've got DMDB.
That yells at you if you're
if you're spamming case. Damage meters all the time. It just, you know, auto damage meter douchebag points the finger.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe that's a bad idea. I'm erasing the chalkboard. Here we go.
Resi from Twitter, her recommendation is to read Icy Veins in advance of queuing. Stack Spirit. Don't be afraid to upgrade your blue gear with justice points. You can make use of wowupgrade.com to figure out the biggest boost when it comes to upgrading your gear. Now, this is actually really good advice and something that you may want to do sooner than later. You can use justice to upgrade your heroic, or was it 458 or higher? Or 458 or 463, because you can't upgrade purples with it. Or use your valor gear to upgrade your epics. The problem with that is, with 5.2 coming out in the near future, Blizzard is going to be removing that feature and the NPC that offers those upgrades. So you can go to that site right now if you have nothing to do with your valor. You know, if you bought all the gear that you want and you're just sitting on it, go and use that site, and it'll give you kind of a top-down list of where you're going to get the most bang for your buck.
Yep. All right, so let's go ahead and give a hand over to Yinxie, who helped us all out with this week's show notes. or topics anyway. It all started with a question saying, hey, training dummies, can you guys go over healing looking for raid for a first time looking for raid healer sometime on your show? And can you please cover how you determine who is tank healing versus who is raid healing? So, take it away, guys.
Hashtag noob LFR healer.
Jeez.
Hey, he put that in there. I was just...
Yes, he did. Well, as far as tank healing and raid healing, how you determine that, it's kind of a free-for-all in LFR. It really is. I've never seen any coordination on that. The content is not difficult enough to require you to set up tank heals versus raid healers, at least that I've seen anyway, and I've never experienced it since they first put this feature into the game. Rob, have you seen that at all?
No, not to that effect. I think the only exception is maybe the shaman situation, which I think you were going to address later. So.
Oh yeah.
But in terms of it's nothing like going in with a coordinated team, you know, or. A guild team or a raid team that you know, because it is so forgiving that you don't really have to be concerned. I think a lot of people just keep an eye on the tank. I always will go into a fight and the first thing I do is, okay, there's my two tanks, and that one has a little more health, so he's probably the main tank, and all right, I'll just keep an eye on them. And and for depending on which class you are, you know, there's always like and we'll get into this in a minute too, but you have like a couple of key spells that you always use. I always throw those on the tanks first. So
yeah, and so I guess we should start with what are the most important things you're going to need for healing in any situation. Is regen, mana regen, and you need spirit for that. As Ressi said that as well, spirit is very important. If this is your first LFR or raid situation, I'd suggest taking a flask. It'll give you an hour buff of 1,000 spirit, which should be more than enough time to complete the 3 or 4 bosses. Mm-hmm. And you might even have enough time to complete a second LFR run. During the fights, use your regen cooldowns as well. I know personally, I'll wait till I'm about 70% of my mana before I'll drop my mana tide totem, and then I will keep it on cooldown after that. That's the most important thing is to, you can't heal if you don't have mana. So regen is one of the most important things for a healer. Spirit is, it's even more important than intellect right now, just because if you can't get the mana back to heal, you can't heal. It's just as simple as that.
Well, at the beginning of an expansion, you're always, you know, quote unquote undergeared, and you're gonna need every drop of mana that you can get. So spirit, like you said, is probably more important than anything else. I ignore socket bonuses for full spirit right now, because those spirit gems are +320 and. And to me, that's more, that outweighs a +80 haste or, you know, or something.
Right.
One of the other.
Yep. Yep. Okay. So there may be many different phases in LFR. During lower damage phases, you're going to have single target heals. So you want to be actively looking for who needs a single heal. A lot of the time, it will be one of the tanks or... Where sometimes you'll end up, a debuff will go on a certain player, but if you have a DBM or other things, it'll announce who that player is, so you can get ready to single target heal them, because you know they're going to start taking damage soon. Don't sit idle. The tanks are always going to need healing, even if they don't need it yet. Be proactive with your hots or absorbs, like we're talking Discipline Priest with their shields. Let those things work while your reactive healing spells are waiting to be used.
That is some darn good advice. I wonder where you got that.
Yeah. Wonder where I did get that.
Well, and in terms of not sitting idle too, there's almost always something you can be doing. If it's not direct healing, you could probably be doing something that's going to boost your regen too. You know, Drew's got the innervate. I know with monks, your manatee and whatnot is part of your rotation. But every class has something that you can be filling those little gaps with. But outside of single target, one of the huge keys of healing in LFR is AoE healing, because you're in there basically zerging with 25 people. The thing that I see a lot that you see in five mans too is people are scared to use their, maybe not scared, forget about, don't think about, or don't properly use their cooldowns, and you have a lot of 2 to 3 minute cooldowns that are really, really awesome. Use those on trash. You know, I think at this point, like, I just did Heart of Fear before we recorded this tonight, and some of the trash pulls before the bosses are a little more tense than the bosses themselves, and I'm like, why not use my cooldown, you know? Like, even in Mogoshan Vaults, all those dudes that put the debuff on you that turns you to stone, you know, one of the monk Mistweaver moves is called Revival. That is also a mass dispel. And yeah, it is on a 3 minute cooldown, but if you've got 25 people that are about to hit that ninth stack and turn into stone, I'll use that, you know? I'll dispel everybody. It's not a big deal. It'll be up again before I really need it, so. And I guess to get into it, first, you know, with the monk, the Mistweaver class, spreading your renewing mist as much as possible, and then using that uplift to get that extra burst heal on everybody who has that renewing mist on them. So if you can time it with your Thunder Focus T and start getting more and more of those renewing mists out there, you can do some really great AoE healing. Like I said, with the revival, that's a huge deal. That is a massive, massive, massive heal to everyone in the group and a dispel. So that's a really good one to keep an eye on. It depends on what you really spec into. You know, if you're specing into the spinning crane kick, that's a good AoE heal. I take the white tiger for my level 90 talent. I kind of keep that on cooldown because that's a good. It's almost passive. Once you throw him out there, he's doing DPS healing for you. So that's a good one to keep going on there too.
Yeah, as well, Disciplined Priests, like we've mentioned a few times already. But you can keep up your Prayer of Mending and your Power Word Shield on the tanks. Once you get to know the fights better, you'll be able to be proactive with your Spirit Shell and use that and then a Prayer of Healing to cover the raid in an Absorb Shield so that they don't take nearly as much damage once that heavy raid-wide damage comes through.
And with Holy Priests, definitely not as familiar with them, but I know that, I don't know if it's a glyph or not, but people don't have to click the light well anymore. So throw that out there, because that's free heals. You've got your Circle of Healing and Divine Hymn, a lot of these cooldowns and AoE heals. So this is going to apply to a lot of the classes, really, I think, with Druids and Shaman and Holy Pallies. You get an AoE heal that is... it's either a reticle or it's a, you know, it applies to a certain area. So you want to watch, you know, keep an eye on where your group is going. Sometimes you'll see ranged people will kind of group up and you can throw down your heal in that area. Or you know that melee is going to be around the boss. So putting your ground effect AoE heal right there where you know people are going to be bunched up is going to help you be efficient with that as well.
Oh, the Shaman, your Restoration Shaman, keep an Earth Shield up on one of the tanks.
You've only been playing this class for 8 years. Can you just say Restoration Shaman without stuttering?
No.
Nah, I don't think so.
I wouldn't.
Anyway, if there's more than one, you want to talk to the other Shaman as well so that you're not overriding each other's Earth Shields. AoE-wise, Healing Rain. If you use your Unleash Elements before you cast your Healing Rain will have 30% more healing power. You can use your chain heal as well after that. I like to do that as well. And then you have a couple of big cooldowns that you can use as well. I can't even remember the name of the talent. I know it's Alt 2 for the spell.
Alt 2. Okay, Alt I'm going to remember that. Mm-hmm. I got to remember that. Alt 2.
And you got your Healing Tide Totem for one of your big cooldowns, which is great for...
Oh, that thing is beast.
For raid-wide damage. Oh, it is. It's awesome. And it's a use spirit totem trash. For the other one.
Use it, Manatide.
I do. I use the Healing Tide Totem on Trash all the time. At least five people get knocked down to half damage, I'll drop it because it's always up by the time we get to the boss anyway, because it's a 3-minute cooldown. It's nothing.
When you're soloing, 3-minute cooldown seems like a long time, but when you're in a raid, those trash pulls last longer than you think. You can almost use it once per trash pull, like depending on how large the pulls are. It definitely almost every other trash pull you can almost use them on. So use them. Do it.
Now, with the Resto Shaman, you want to chain heal off of whoever has your Riptide, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Because that gives you...
25% more on the first jump. Or the person who has Riptide gets 25% more healing from a chain heal.
And it's usually your tank, and giving your tank 25% extra heals is never a bad idea.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now with Resto Druid, I haven't touched mine a lot this expansion, but I did get in and make some runs with him today just so I wouldn't be completely ignorant. But I mean, the same rules are going to apply across the board. You've got your basic spells, like I was saying earlier, and with the Druid, it's going to be Rejuven Life Bloom that you want to keep up on your tank or main tank or whatever it is. And you can Swift Mend off of that to get that AoE heal. Now, with the Resto Druid, now you can use your Tree of Life, which I believe is a 3-minute cooldown, and Incarnation, if you spec into that, that's going to give you extra boost heals. And it's really, Wild Growth, that's your other, I think that's one of your other main AoEs. It's all with the Druid, it's all about HOTS and keeping those up. You're not going to be able to, in my experience, somebody out there, please let me know. Raven, I think, is a Druid healer. Let me know. I don't feel like Druids are real, like, heavy hitters. They're just steady, 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 steady. So if you're a Druid, you got to keep those up. Keep up Wild Growth. Keep up Reju. Keep up Life Bloom. You know, keep all that stuff up so you can. That's how you're going to get your numbers.
Well, you know, they're heavy hitters when you've got the mouse over macros, apparently.
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, and I know their mastery. Their mastery gives them that extra percentage on healing too, but that's a whole another digging a deep hole that I don't really know where it leads.
Yep. Holy Paladin as well. I'm pretty rusty on my Paladin heals. Taylor can attest to that. I think Rob was there too. Particular Storm Stout.
Oh man, you know. I was about to say the other day when we were talking about our 14-minute run, and with you and me and Rob in a group, we probably could 3-man anything in 15 minutes, even without two other DPS. But then I was reminded of that run in Storm Stout with you on your Paladin tank, and that whole reality came crashing inward. That's okay.
I know. Our mains, we can.
Yes, on our mains. I need to get in there and use my Paladin more. But anyway, you want to beacon the tank or one of the tanks, whichever one is probably the main tank. It's a lot nicer now in Mists. It's more of a set it and forget it type buff, whereas before you had to refresh it every 5 minutes. Now you put it on there and it's good for an hour.
Set it.
Set it and forget it. It doesn't turn off in an hour. You want to build up your holy power so you can use your Light of Dawn, which is no longer directional as it used to be, and use your Holy Radiance, which conveniently will give you more holy power. And Paladins have a ton of cooldowns too, which I never remember what they are because I never remember to use them. but I know they have a lot.
There's so many that are. I know, you know, Noxic will recommend this or that, you know. That eternal, you know, eternal flame that you could do over instead of Word of Glory that turns it into a hot.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of flavor based stuff. If that Sacred Shield, a lot of even as a tank or as a healer, you know, a lot of people love that Sacred Shield. So it's really getting to know your class and using those cooldowns and skills to the most there.
I actually have on my on the tank, on my Pally tank, I actually have, depending on if I'm using the Pally Shield Slam, Shield of the Righteous, I think. I've got that macro to, anytime I use that, it uses one of those damage reduction cooldowns, and another, when I use Word of Glory, it uses a different damage reduction cooldown. And I think you could, if it's the same one, I think you could, like, couple that along with Holy Shock, but I don't remember exactly, since I've actually never healed on my Paladin, so. But yeah, I mean, you could macro some of those cooldowns together, because I think some of them do not share a global cooldown.
Right, yeah.
Well, right. I mentioned this a couple of times, but just because I really think it is important to know your cooldowns, know your spec, know those. And here's what I've been doing a lot lately. I've been reevaluating the talents that I chose along the way, because a lot of this stuff was, you know, Mist came out, we all rushed to 90, and we all went and looked up our, you know, the different talents for each tier, and I kind of haven't gone back and looked at a lot of them again. And some of them I chose whatever was passive because I just didn't want to deal with it at the time. And now going back and looking, there's a lot of really cool stuff in there. So I encourage you to go back and look through your talents and see, you know, even, you know, just because the site recommends something doesn't mean that it's necessarily the best thing to do. I know that a lot of them are going to be flavor-based or style-based. There's a Resto Shaman talent that's like, was it Totemic Recall? The one that if you pull your totems, you get a percentage of mana back based on, you know, pulling them up before they expire. That's pretty cool. I don't remember to do that, or it's kind of a pain. You got to keep an eye on it. And then one of the other ones in that tier is it resets the cooldown of anything under 3 minutes, I believe, of your and I'm like, why am I not doing that? That's I like that a lot better, and I'm not necessarily struggling with mana when I go into these runs, so I feel like I'm wasting a talent there. So just go back and reevaluate some of that stuff. You may find, you know, I know there's on the Death Knight, I know the level 90 talents, you know, there's a Remorseless Winter, and then there's the Gorfiend's Grasp, and I'm like, you know what, I like both of these, and they're both very situational. So I start thinking ahead of time, you know, what am I going into, what am I going to planning on doing in this run? You know, I was using the Grasp, Gorfiend's Grasp on Hoofit to grab all of the AoE adds and land those on him. But then when I was soloing stuff, I was using Remorseless Winter because it's really fun, and it basically, you get to be the Lich King, so it's kind of cool. True story.
All right. But yeah, cooldowns, like, we can't stress enough how important your cooldowns are. They're there to be used. You could probably get, you know, at least two times you could use them per boss fight, you know, let alone the trash, but you know, at least two times per fight you could probably use those. And as you run LFR more, you'll be able to anticipate when is a good time to use your cooldowns. You know, a good example is the Stone Guards, where all the mechanics are ignored on that fight. Everyone just stands in a ball in the center. They take all three of the Stone Guards together, and then they explode and do a ton of damage. So when that happens, you know, that's where I save my Healing Tide totem for that. It's great to bust up or bring everyone back up quickly. And I'm sure a lot of other people are doing the same thing, because, you know, you'll see everyone drop to half health, But then right away, everyone's back up to full health because everyone's busting out their cooldowns, bringing everyone back up.
Mm-hmm. So, and if you go with friends, you can actually coordinate those cooldowns, and that's get even more bang for your buck.
Mm-hmm. All right, what is next? Positioning.
Positional.
This is kind of standard in any dungeon or raid, but just be aware of your surroundings. Don't stand in any poo. Blizzard's done a good job of training us not to stand in dark purple. So if you see that, you know you need to move. I know we've mentioned this before, but Rob has introduced us all to a great add-on called GTFO. That is probably one of the best add-ons there is. I think it's a must-have in my playbook now, definitely.
The dubstep remixes that you can make using that add-on alone are worth it.
Right.
One of the other things that I know we've touched on a little bit is dispelling. And what you want to stay away from, and kind of picking up on some of Daryl's notes here, is you don't have to treat it like this is just LFR. Oh, this is only LFR, and a lot of people ignore the mechanics completely, and they don't deal with things. But there are some fights where it will benefit you beyond words to actually look at the mechanics or to dispel things. I know Hand mentions in the notes here that I use it too as an add-on called Smart Debuff, and it gives you another little a really small set of frames that you can set up and manage how you want. But basically, you can just click on someone's name there, and it'll do the dispel or debuff or purge or cure or whatever the heck it's called for your class to that person. I have on some of my classes I have it mouse over macroed to so it's really easy because I already have my mouse on the unit frames there. So there was one example that you gave here, Hand. I'll let you bring that up for one of the
I can't actually remember the name of the boss, but it's the boss that won't drop my healing mace at the at the end of Heart of Fear. He does a fear on two raid members at a time, and the fear lasts for I think it's about a minute, unless it's dispelled. And if no one is dispelling this, and by random RNG, all the healers get the debuff. No one can heal. No one can then dispel this, and the raid will wipe. I've had it happen before.
Yeah,
where we wiped on that last boss because all the healers were running around feared because no one was dispelling it. So, you know, it is an important part of the game, and it's an important part of LFR, and part of the healer's job is to make sure that you're dispelling these kinds of things.
You know, let me put in a little word here. If you're one of the people that isn't the person doing double everybody else's healing, what you can do is change your recount or your scatter or whatever meters you're using. Instead of doing heals, go look at the dispel list. And if you see your name as the only one up there, then you've got some bragging rights, because heals are still good. But when you're when you're dispelling people from having those things that are extremely detrimental to the raid, doesn't matter how much healing you're doing, if those things go wrong, you know, it's the little things that just make the machine run really smooth instead of just grinding the gears to get to, you know, a higher speed. Just, you know, you're the clutch that allows it to have a nice transition into killing stuff. So yeah, you know, look at those things. Especially if you are one of the people that likes to track meters and you like to be on the top of the healing meters, and you find that you're not, see if there's other things that you're doing that someone else isn't, because someone else could be just simply padding the meters, just trying to find a way to brag because they've got the biggest numbers. But if you're doing other things as well, you're being very utilitarian, that's very helpful, and it's very good. So don't forget about that. Keep an eye on it. And it's also nice to know, if you're in non-looking for raid, if you're in an actual progression raiding, if you notice there are other healers that are not dispelling, they obviously need to assist. Or maybe you're both trying to dispel the same people, so you can kind of coordinate. I'll dispel people in group one, you dispel people in group two. It just makes it a lot easier to do those things. All right, I'm sorry. Go on. Talk about your healing.
No, that's fine. That's good.
We don't have LFR.
There's no tank stuff in this episode. I'm sad.
Hey, we talked about...
Do you want to read LMRAs here so you don't feel left out?
Okay. Yeah. LMRA. We go way back. LMRA asks us to discuss raid frames, their importance, types of info they should display, mouse over macro add-ons, woo, roles of a healer, crowd control, dispels, and other utility. Oh, we just covered dispels. And that numbers alone don't make you a good player. He's also got a link to a blog post that he did. Shameless plug, but you know what, LMRE? We're going to plug it for you. We'll put it in the show notes.
Definitely.
And the article is, Why Do Feral Druids Need Raid Frames? And, you know, I can understand exactly where he's coming from, because even if I'm tanking, we'll still call Feral Druids tanks, because that's what they used to be before they were called Guardians. So, even as a tank, I use mouse over macros for Rebirth, using Nature Swiftness with the heal, or innervating someone. I know innervate's kind of crap now, but I still use it, and I always innervate with love.
It's
so
better with nothing.
Right.
better than love.
Yep. I always innervate with love, and I let them know it. Mm. So... it's true. If you ever are in a random and you see a druid tank named Hoofit and he innervates somebody with mana with love, then you know it's really me. Of course, there is only one Hoofit on Deathwing, so that's another way to know. So, but yeah, crowd control.
More than one Hoofit on Deathwing?
No, there can't be. Yeah, I've got mouse over macros for Hibernate and Entangling Roots. You know, all of those little things, even Feral Fairy Fire, mouse over macro for that, for doing, sometimes it depends on how I use it. I use it different ways. If I'm doing a pull or if I'm doing a multiple pull where I'll mouse over one and charge another, that type of deal. Just depends. But yeah, I mean, there's lots of utility that you can do even in other roles. I'm pretty sure he's wanting to talk about healer stuff specifically, but he brings up a lot of important points, and you should check out LMRE's post, and you can find it in our show notes, and just look at the comments underneath the show notes, and I'm sure LMRE will also be there to ferry the traffic his way, because we also learned that LMRE is a man. A long time ago. We go way back. All right, so discuss raid frames. Go for it.
All right. It was actually LMRE's tweet here where he says, discuss raid frames. Once I saw that, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. I should put that in the notes. So it is entirely to his credit that this is in here. But as for raid frames... this is more general healing than strictly LFR, but you'll want raid frames that can tell you the information you're going to need and or want. Personally, I use the Blizzard standard raid frames with an add-on called Raid Frame Indicators. I know I've noticed this, and Rob has too, so much so that he switched to Voodoo, is it, I think?
I'm using Grid right now.
Or Grid it is. Yeah. But they do get glitchy in LFR. The standard frames sometimes it happens usually when someone leaves the group and someone comes back in, it doesn't put them in the raid frames.
It's not the add-on, it's not the raid frame indicator add-on that's glitching out, it's the Blizzard default frames. Raid frame.
Yeah, it's the actual built-in one. Yeah.
Yeah. So a quick console reload UI will fix it. It's just a little frustrating at times. But anyway, with with that add-on and the Blizzard frames, I'm able to track any debuff or buff that I want. I know for our guild runs, I have the totem debuff on what's it, a Gergel, so that I know who has the totem debuff, so that I can call who needs to go into the spirit world and who can't. It's also nice to see which hots of yours are ticking away, so that you know when you need to refresh them, or so you're not wasting mana putting it on someone who already has it. You can also see buffs from other healers. You know, example is Earthshield. I have it set so that I can see specifically who I have my Earthshield on, and if there's an Earthshield on there that is not mine, it's on a different area of the frame so that I know it's someone else's. And that way I know not to cast Earthshield on that person and overwrite theirs. You know, for priests as well, like, keep coming back to the disciplined priest here again. But I know on my disciplined priest, I have it set so that I can see who has weakened soul, so that I know whether it's from my Power World Shield or someone else's, so that I know when I can cast Power World Shield on that target once again.
Hey, don't forget that you can also use raid frame indicators to not only keep track of, like, because you're talking about when you're a shaman, you can see another shaman's earth shield, or if you're a priest, you can see another priest's shield. Mm-hmm. But you can also set, if you want to know as a shaman who has power word shield, you can have it do that too. So you can see really any classes, whether they're yours or not, and you just tell it what you want to see. So it's pretty ingenious. I like it.
Well, yeah, we had to use that anyways with our pally healer from
Hen was our paladin healer, even though he was healing on a shaman, because he had to tell the other paladin healer all the time, "Hey, your beacon's gone. Re-beacon."
Yeah, that's when it was a five minute timer. I was always telling him, "Yeah, it's dropped. It's dropped."
Yeah.
So, yeah. That was awesome. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, being able to see what other people are doing too, like Hen was saying, you're not wasting the mana that it costs you to cast this on that guy, because you know it's not even going to matter. You're overriding someone else's, or it's not necessary at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I guess with all things, communication is key as well. You know, that goes for if someone, like, since we're discussing Earth Shields, if there's more than one shaman in the LFR, discuss ahead of time who should put their Earth Shield on which tank. I know I don't always do this, because sometimes I'll just overwrite the other guy till he quits. But
that's a meta game in itself.
Anyways. But communication is key. Like, if you don't know the fight, or if you've been there before and never healed the fight before, let them know. And they'll let you know important things that you need to know. Like, I have an example. The first time I did the Sulong boss fight, it was a wipe. And after the wipe, someone commented that only two of the healers were healing Sulong, to which I commented, "Healing the boss? Are you crazy?" So, yeah. Apparently, during the day phase, you need to be healing the boss. And I did not know that, but, you know, not following my own advice, once again, I didn't ask or say anything ahead of time. So, yes, I could use this tip a bit more myself, I must admit.
Lucky you're not a bad healer and trying to get half the raid to vote kick you out, because one healer didn't know what he was doing, so all the DPS want to kick all of the healers.
Right.
Jeez.
That sounds like there's a cool story behind that.
I think we might have talked about it last week or something.
No, I don't know.
Did we?
I don't know. I know you were able to leave mid raid to go get your gym
or do your
quest for your right in the middle.
All right, I'll explain it real quick. We're already running over, so couple seconds won't hurt too much. But so yeah, it was actually in Terrasiv in the spring, and there was a warrior tank that was tanking, and he did not say that he didn't know the fights. And I even asked him, you know, I'm like, hey, do you want me to take the first Sulong shadow breath thing? And he's like, on the first boss fight with the three guys, he was doing some just weird stuff. Like, he was constantly, you know, I was just trying to keep him organized, and he was like pulling one thing over the other thing. And I'm like, whatever. Maybe he's just trying to, you know, be a damage meter guy. So whatever, that's fine. When we got to the second boss, there's definitely some tank swapping that has to happen. So I asked him, I'm like, hey, do you want me to take the, I'll take the first one, and then you can just taunt after that, and then we'll just keep taunting back and forth once the breath debuff wears off. And he's like, oh, I don't know what, I've never been here. I'm like, oh, okay. So I started going, I was like, okay, this is what we need to do. And I told him this is what to look for. And while I'm explaining it, there's DPS going, freaking pull the boss already, you know. And I'm like, ugh, whatever. So I just told him, look for this, taunt. I'll tell you when to taunt again. Keep an eye on this debuff, run to the light, run out of it. You know, just the basic stuff. Don't stand there. And so we went, and he just kept taunting the guy off of me. Just nonstop. So I think he got the stacking debuff mixed up with the breath debuff. So he just kept taunting him, and I'm like, no, not yet. So I taunt him back, start doing stuff. He taunt him immediately. So then he died because he had like three breaths on him, and I'm like, oh boy. And then the DPS started going crazy, and then we ended up wiping because I ended up having, when he died, then I was the only person taking stacks, and then a bunch of people wanted to kick both of us because we sucked, and it was like, I'm trying to explain it to him. It's his first time here, but because he didn't know what he was doing, I'm a bad tank. Everybody sucks, and everybody was getting pissed off, and it was funny. The loudest mouth in there was probably the worst player in there completely. So, okay, that story's done. Let's move on.
Your whole thing was to get your sigil. So you could go get your quest, so you can get your epic gym.
Yeah, that was the epic gym run. Yeah. So I...
You had to leave. You got the sigil that you needed. You had to leave in the middle of the raid, like, zone out real quick, and then zone back in and hope that no one was going to freak out.
Yeah. Well, actually, what I did was I was explaining to the other tank in through Whisper what was going on while I was getting my gym. So I was kind of multitasking that time there, so it wasn't completely illegitimate, but I was kind of like, maybe nobody will notice, but whatever, I got my gym.
Why is the tank over in the Valley of the Four Shadows?
I don't know. Why is Hoofit third in DPS in the whole raid while he's tanking? I don't know.
Alright, so do you guys have anything?
Oh no, I'm going to add one pro tip specific to this fight that we've talked about a couple times now, the Sulong fight. Pro tip, clear your stacks. It doesn't matter what class you are, what spec you are, what's going on, clear your stacks. That means when you get that little buff on you or debuff on you of the shadow, go stand in the little beam of sunlight that is shining down, and that will clear those stacks off of you. Try not to let it get much higher than 10 or so. Even if you're a tank, if you're a healer, go clear your freaking stacks.
But don't stay in it. Move out.
Yeah, don't stand in it. Run through it and move somewhere else till you need to clear your stacks again.
Yep. Do that, and you'll make lots of friends.
Yeah. All right. And heal Sulong in the day phase.
We ready to move on to this next thing?
I think so.
Think so? We're done with Sulong?
Are you really?
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, well. What is all this fanfare for, you might ask? Well, that is because we've got a new segment, and that is for the Macro of the Week. Hen, do you want to explain what this is?
Yeah, we are going to showcase a macro every week since they've kind of taken on a life of their own. We've also added a macro section to the website. currently it's a little rough, but you can, it's functional right now, at least. You can use the drop-down menu to find macros based on class or role. Once we figure out how, we'll beautify it for you. But we just want to be able to share all the macros that we have in one consolidated place, I guess, and hopefully highlight some new ones for everyone every week.
Right. We're not trying to emulate.
The one we have this week is actually one that I sent to Raven.
Yeah, this is the award-winning Elegon Killing.
Last Sunday I sent it to Raven, which she is saying helped her to beat Elegon and Will of the Emperor. So it's our base mouse over macro that that I use, and I think Rob used it as well for his healing. That has a heal spell coupled with a damage spell. So you know, if you're mouse over a friendly, it's going to heal them. If you're mouse over an enemy, it's going to damage them. And then it's also got target safeguards built in as well, so if you're targeting a friendly, it's still going to heal them, and if you're targeting a mob, it's going to do damage to them. So this is already on the website. You can look for it under the heal section, and because it's regrowth and wrath, it's also searchable under druids.
Yeah, and we're not going to
all right.
Copy
and I think that's it for that. Do we need it's time to move on to the next section?
All right, so real quick, yeah, we're not trying to take other sites that already have huge archives of macros. I mean, really, if you're really savvy into macros, you're probably already going there and finding exactly what you want. What we're trying to do with this is, you know, there's always these shows where we talk about a specific macro that's kind of really cool. Maybe they're even custom. Maybe someone asked us to make something for them. We want to highlight these things and for you. And, you know, we've already linked to other sites that have just tons of macros for you to browse and look at. But you just may not know what you need. So you can always come look at ours on our macro highlights of the week. And we're not going to inundate you with every single lame macro that's out there. We're going to try to give you creative ones, or at least ones that are just a little bit outside of the norm, that aren't just, you know, use cooldown, use ability type of thing. So there we go. So this I think, oh yeah, we already talked about the macro, so it'll be on the site. And I guess we need to do a little bit of this now.
Well, in love, just be happy there aren't more of these. Now, hand love.
I finally did it for you. There you go. You can be happy. Wow. There's no crazy. There's no crazy Jack Black.
All right. We're going to send some hand love to our guildies, the Hoarderlies, on the Deathwing server. And two of those Hoarderlies are Root and Freckleface from the Hearthcast podcast, and we're going to send them some hen love as well.
Yeah, I want to thank all the...
Put it in a box and send it over, or how does that work?
How does that work? Much. I don't get it. Well, I really have to thank everyone that... I mean, it was last minute, and a lot of people were expecting a guest appearance tonight, and that didn't happen, and we just got a lot of feedback today, the day that we recorded. So I really want to give a shout out to all of our listeners, all the people that tweeted in, and thanks for doing that. And don't forget to check out Elamari's link whenever you hear this, especially if you're a feral druid, whether you're guardian or feral.
That's true.
Rob?
Hello. I have so many shout outs to give that I just don't even know where to start. So I love you all. I'm coming up on 1,000 followers on Twitter. So
oh, I thought you were about to say our thousandth episode. I was like, whoa, we haven't gotten that many.
Not yet, but I'm planning on gonna do something cool when I get to 1,000. So Spread the word at Rob Copeland. Be cool, and hand love will be a thing of the past because you're going to be looking for Rob Love after that.
Jeez, I don't even. How can you? Ah, 1,000. I think I have like around 200, and I feel bad because I can't even keep up with that. You know, I have the little app running at work, and you know I'm gone for lunch break, and I come back, and there's 500 tweets. I'm like, holy moly, how do you keep up? How do you guys do that? Anybody else out there got just loads? Have some kind of tweet management suggestions for me?
Well, it depends. A lot of people use TweetDeck or create lists. But, yeah, man, it's a lot. It's a lot of business going on. And we're looking to increase volume.
All right.
All right. Okay. I think that does it for episode 28 of The Training Dummies. Be sure to check out our website, thetrainingdummies.com. You can find the new macro section there as well. Our contact information is there if you want to get a hold of us individually or the show. As well, please leave comments on any of the episodes that you hear. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Like us at facebook.com/thetrainingdummies. Or follow the show's Twitter at Training Dummies, Hoofit at Wow Hoof, Rob's at Rob Copeland, and mine at Hend_HordeRelease. If you have questions, please don't hesitate to email or record an MP3 and send it to the show at thetrainingdummies.com. Or if you don't want to do all that work, just go to our website and click the add-on on the right-hand sidebar. And in 2 clicks, you can send us a voicemail that way. As a special note, next week we have Ask Mr. Robot on the show, so that's kind of exciting. Get your questions in now. Hopefully you're hearing this before we do that show. Anyway, thanks for listening and good night.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo! Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! Woo!